good morning. It is a Monday. Mikey J's across the console. So is Colin Letty. Happy birthday to Colin, by the way.
Woohoo!
Did you know
Thank
that?
You. Yeah, yeah. Talked to Colin over the weekend. We ran into each other.
Anyway, so you got big birthday plans or anything?
Not really.
You actually did. You did some birthday stuff over the weekend, though.
Yeah,
right?
I visited with some family.
Okay.
Nothing too major.
Anyway. It is a Monday. We're going to talk about a little bit of things. Some of the Senate today is supposed to be presenting their plan on their stimulus ideas. They're looking at making a fairly sharp reduction in some of the unemployment bonus, which I think, you know, and let's face it, I think the concern was that the unemployment, what we've had since the first stimulus came out, was that if you're unemployed, laid off or unemployed, et cetera, that you would receive your full unemployment benefits plus on top of that $600, which means anybody on unemployment is going to make more than any of us.
Yeah. They're not still paying that out, though, right?
They are.
They are.
They are.
Really? They never stopped.
This coming week is the last week of that. So that's everyone has gotten 600. Everyone who's did it got $600.
Anyone who's still out of work.
Who's still out of work. Yeah. Six still get 600. But it makes. But that's the problem. They've had people have not been, you know, it's like we're not wanting to. Well, would you want to go back to work if you?
No. In most cases, no.
No, to be fair, I mean, yes. And there's been some. There, yes. For every uneven thing, there's been something to counteract it. If you know what I mean. I'm saying is that some things have worked out fair for people. Other things have not been fair. A lot of people unemployed. Depending upon where you live. See, that's the other thing. Depending upon where you live, how much money does this, you know, how far will that money go? It won't go very far in San Francisco, I'll tell you that.
Well, and there's also there's lots of cases where people can't get the $600. If you hadn't been working at your job long enough to get unemployment benefits, you're not eligible for unemployment. There's all sorts of people.
Oh, yeah. No. There are. You're right.
There's all sorts of people that have been laid off and don't get that $600.
There's people that have been, that have slipped through the cracks, so to speak. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
It's very inconsistent.
Yes. It does appear there will be, at least it appears that there will be, if you believe Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, he says, regardless of which plan or whatever plan they do, there's not going to be a payroll tax. We'll talk about that in a second. No payroll tax or no payroll tax with elimination of the payroll tax. He says there will be one more stimulus check that will be coming out. And it should be exactly the same as the last, going to pretty much exactly the same people as it was. If you made too much money, you don't get, you know, I think it was $99,000 or something like that or whatever.
Yeah, well, you get the full $1,200 as long as you make less than $75,000.
That's it.
And then it's
or $150,000.
For every $1,000 over $75,000 that you make, they take $50 off the payment. So
something
if you make
like
more
that.
Than $99,000, you don't get anything.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Okay. I think we're okay. We're safe there,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're talking about the payroll tax. The payroll tax, there was confusion on it, and I heard the Doug Steffens show, and I think a lot of people listen, and the confusion is, and Jennifer Horn has been thinking the payroll tax is all federal taxes, and no, it's not.
No,
it is the Social Security and Medicare tax. The employer pays 6.5, you pay 6.5, so the employer gets basically what it is just the money that's taken out for Social Security and Medicare. So it's basically a benefit for the employer and it's supposedly a small benefit for the employee, but it's not. You're still going to pay all your federal taxes, and you're still going to pay all your state taxes, but you won't have any Medicare or Social Security, which seems to me. Okay, let's cut and burn Social Security and Medicare So then we'll just make sure that we really do finally put a knife in it. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But the fact is it's not. And they've kept this thing going on their thing. And I've thought to call in, but I haven't called in. And maybe I'll just let them. I think people know that they're wrong.
Yep. Well, there is. When you're looking at it, a lot of people have had a lot to say about Social Security and some of the social programs, and they're dipping into that money to pay out this stimulus thing. I think it's just another example of why it should all be one program. There's no reason why Social Security and unemployment and trying to get all of our medical and everything together, why can't it all be one social program? If you got paid so much money a month, you know, this is the universal basic income theory.
Okay, I got you.
You don't have to give everyone insurance if you give them enough money that they could buy insurance every month. You know, that's okay. The question behind it. And then the government isn't in charge of the insurance. You have the right to go choose whatever insurance you want, and it's not going to be a burden and keep you from eating food, you know, and say you go on unemployment. You don't have to go through some crazy unemployment arbitrary process. You have a universal basic income that can get you by until you find another job. So or if your industry is dying.
Who was the candidate that
Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang, yes. Okay. I think a lot of people, there was some logic, and I think there was actually some talk of something like that when this whole coronavirus thing came out, and basically implementing something like that. I don't, the thing is, talking about it, implementing it are two different things. And let's face it, we've got two parties. We've got a Democratic Party. We've got a Republican Party. And one controls the House, one controls the Senate, and neither the twain shall meet, except for, hopefully, they did meet somewhat. I think you think they're going to meet somewhere in the middle? Is that what you think, Colin, or you have any
That's
idea?
That's the hope. I honestly don't think they will.
I think it's going to be the exact same thing that got passed before. Exactly.
You think
almost,
so?
Almost copied word for word. Yeah, they might have cut a thing here or two out because there was some money that went to some businesses that probably shouldn't have gotten it, you know, in the last one.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the same with some tweaking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we're going to get the same amount of money. I think it's going to pretty much be exactly the same as the last time. And so for those of you that didn't get your checks, you know, right on time or didn't, now would be a great time to set up your direct deposit with the government and update your information, because that was the biggest problem. People that didn't have updated information with the government didn't get their payments until months and months later. So if you're one of those folks, get your stuff updated.
You can't see it, but I'm raising my hand. but another big point of this particular stimulus thing was liability protection for opening schools.
Right. That is part of this one, too. And I think it's... You know, there is a certain amount of logic in that because why?
There's a big issue right now is that obviously the president wants schools open as normal as they can, but state by state they're kind of adding more and more restrictions.
Well, it's a little bit like this whole coronavirus pandemic. It's not all one playing field. We here in Des Moines County, it's been 131 days, by the way, since Governor Reynolds made that closed or basically made the announcement on St. Patty's Day, right? 131 mm-hmm. days. In 131 days, we have now in the total in Des Moines County as of this morning was 127. In other words, we've had less than one case per day. Positive case per day in reported here. We have not had any deaths since the third week in Des Moines County. I don't know if
that's pretty good.
Which is not bad. I mean, considering the fact is, and we're a testing site, so you know we're going to be, and you would think, and a lot of, and testing positive for these things, we have not been overrun. We have not, the hospital staff, in fact, they've been cutting staff because because of the fact of the fear of the COVID-19 and the fact that they had elective surgeries or people have also been reluctant to go to the doctor. Can you imagine that? It's like, okay, I don't want to go to the doctor because that's where the stuff is.
Yeah, well, I mean, 100%. If we couldn't afford it before this whole thing, what makes you think that we can afford it anymore now?
I don't think so. You know? I don't think any more now than we did before. I think the fact is we've got, it's kind of like, it's sort of like we're gerbils that are running in place
on the wheel.
Does it feel? I mean, if that's what it feels like to me.
On the hamster
wheel. It's a hamster on the hamster. It's our hamster wheel. I don't know. What does the sheep say?
It's our own fault. We keep voting for these same two parties, the same two terrible, you know, candidates that they throw
it's
out every 4 years.
It's yin or yang. It's not yin or yang.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. That's why.
Or Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Yeah.
That's the way it seems. And they want you to think that those are the only two choices you have, but you don't. There are plenty of other candidates out there, you know, and the more that we let the Democrats and Republicans call all the shots, whether, you know, nothing is going to change until somebody forces them to change the way that politics and lawmaking is done in this country.
The problem is all the money flows directly out of those. All the money and all the PACs go directly to those parties. If the Libertarian candidate had the money of a Donald Trump, or the Democratic Party, or the Republican Party, yes, it would be the scenario would be very different.
The issue is always money.
It's always money.
No, yes and no. I mean, it's also the laws.
If we
reform the laws to not allow, PACs, you know, if you go to another country, there aren't giant corporations, you know, coming up with multiple commercials to destroy someone's character. You can't do that as a private corporation. You have to be part of a campaign to come up with a campaign ad like that, you know. And so we see these politicians now, there's all these ads that they'll say, I approve this message. Well, for every one of those, there's five ads that they don't say, I approve this message at the end of, but their own supporters have directly put the money into creating a terrible smear tactic campaign.
Oh, what would be America's PAC? Is that America's PAC? America's PAC, otherwise known as the, I'm not sure, a lot of money to basically try to keep Joni Ernst in power.
Yeah, it's unreal how many of those ads are out there right now.
Oh, really?
Tearing down Teresa Greenfield, calling her a criminal, saying she's anti-American.
Yes.
She's destroying
small
business.
Lying. She's lying when she says she doesn't take corporate money paid for by America PAC.
Yes, exactly, yes. The fact is PACs are ruling. PACs really do rule. Because there's no limit on the money.
If you want to get ahead in politics, that's where you take the money from.
Remember campaign finance
reform?
Campaign finance reform? Where's that gone?
That was a joke. That was
an absolute joke. Out that window right there.
Yeah, because you can't get rich if there's all these rules standing in the way. You know, of people throwing millions of dollars around to control the country and control the vote.
It all comes back to money.
It does come back to money. There's no doubt about it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more. We've got phone lines open at 754-1490. What's on your mind?
Welcome to the program.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Neither Drew Brees, who was tagged by the Chargers in 2005, or Kirk Cousins, tagged by Washington in 16 and 17, wound up signing multi-year contracts with those teams that drafted them, both eventually moving elsewhere. Could you see a scenario where Dak Prescott moves on from the Cowboys after 1 year?
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow. Doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
It's time for some straight talk. Here's a wireless equation to wrap your brain around. Big carriers plus fancy phone offers plus pricey contracts equals fail. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get a new phone payment plan with no fees, no contracts, and no deposits. For great Samsung phones starting at less than $7 a month. All on America's largest and most dependable networks for up to 50% less. Turn that brain power into money-saving power. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Back pain is more common than the common cold. I'm Dr. Dali Palinkovich, a board-certified spine surgeon at Great River Medical Center.
Dr. Palinkovich, why did you choose to specialize in back pain and spine problems?
Although being the first doctor in my family, I come from a line of healthcare professionals, and I was always amazed what medicine can do and where it is going. I specialized in spine because we have a unique ability to take away pain immediately. Similarly to a root canal, if somebody has a root canal, you relieve the pain, the nerve pain is gone. The greatest satisfaction is to see the smile on the face when the patient comes back.
And why did you choose orthopedic specialists at Great River Medical Center?
I chose Great River Medical Center because they have a great culture, the way they practice medicine, they have a great organization, they can take care of the entirety of the health of the patient, not only orthopedics, so we work as a team here.
Find out more at greatriverortho.org.
Welcome back on the Talks of Nicola Betty and Mikey J across the console. I was just talking about watching Fox Sports. I watched three innings of the Dodgers and Giants game Saturday afternoon on Fox Sports. And I was in Dodger Stadium. They had the cardboard cutouts that we talked about you paid $300 for. They had them all behind, all in home plate. So when you saw the shot from center field, it was actually, yes, there was that was a legit, they showed it was all legitimate shot. And that was something that they showed. But when they panned the rest of the stadium was full. And if somebody had a hit there, you'd hear the crowd going, yay, go, you know, you'd hear, you know, yeah. Cold beer here, well, you know, all these sounds you'd hear at a ballpark, and when a crack of the bat, you'd hear the crack of the bat, and then oh, foul ball, and then they'd bring up a scene of a foul ball going into the stands in down to third baseline or wherever. Actually, it was fairly creative. The guy who was running the tech board had to be really creative on this thing. But they called it, they didn't, the people on the air, I can't remember who it was, but they said, well, let's see, who got this illusionary foul ball? Or the illusionary fan that got the foul ball. You're right. It was close to, okay, this is fake sports, or part of it anyway. Although the game itself, was going on. The game itself was going on, and that was legitimately going on. It's just all of the things that go around, they had that. That was all fake.
Isn't it sad that they have to add a bunch of fake stuff and noise just to get people to watch this game? I don't. Why do they feel the need to do this?
I don't know.
Because I can tell you why.
Okay,
because
why?
They think this game is too boring to watch normally. That's why. They think if there's no fans in the stands that people just won't watch it. You know, if you giving them just action on the field, it's so boring that a televised broadcast of it is unwatchable. Because most of that broadcast is not watching what's on the field. It's watching the sideline. It's watching the announcers. It's
a crowd. It's a shot of the crowd. It's somebody getting the foul ball. It's a dad that gets the home run ball, hands it to his kid.
Or Wrigley throws it back.
It's whatever.
Have we heard of any other sport thinking about doing this?
Football.
Really?
Football, yes.
The NFL.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
please don't.
Yeah, the Fox NFL broadcasts are looking to do the exact same.
But it's just Fox,
same.
Though. It's just Fox.
Yeah, just
right?
Fox.
Just Fox.
None
of the other
Fox.
Networks
no,
are looking into doing
it. As of now.
I will say this. The NHL playoffs are kicking off soon, and they, for their Hub City ice surfaces, their stands are completely tarped off, and they replaced them with just more screens.
Okay.
To add more effects to the arena, I guess, for goals and penalties and such.
That's right. I don't know. It's
going to look like Las Vegas.
It just seemed...
Ironically, Vegas is actually in the playoffs.
It just seemed...
It looked like it then.
It seemed...
Even though they're playing in Edmonton.
It seemed surreal. Maybe that's the word to try to come up with.
Strange.
Strange. Because I knew, you know, it was... But they were joking about it, and it was their first broadcast, their first Saturday broadcast of the season, so...
Oh, believe me, the internet was having a field day with this.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, because the guys were joking. They were joking about it.
I mean,
it.
Granted, some teams are used to playing in front of no fans, but...
No, it was a... It was a full house in this Dodger State. Now, Dodgers...
Of cardboard cutouts.
Actually, it was not a full house of cardboard cutouts. They only had the cardboard cutouts in those selected
behind
areas.
Behind home plate.
Behind home plate, and I think they had them in one of the...
The baseline.
I think they had them in some, you know...
Behind the dugouts.
I think it was in like the upper luxury boxes and things like that, or whatever, or the ledge. Their big club they have that's up there.
At least like some fields can get away with fans on the outside. Like at Wrigley Field, I was watching the Cubs Brewers game the other day. There were fans up on those rooftop bleachers just on the other side of Waveland Street.
Oh yeah, well that's because they can legislate all they want about what
that's
you,
not in the arena.
It's not the arena. Yeah. All those rooftop places, yeah, and
so there were kind of still fans there.
Yeah, there were fans. They were just the fans that were outside of the stadium. And Wrigley is unique in that case. It really is. Anyway, I think the thing is, I think we're all getting very fatigued and tired and burned out on this whole. I mean, the fact is. We seemed like we were on our way to getting everything kind of better and better and then gradually getting normal.
One step
and,
forward, two steps
and,
back.
Yeah, and it's like we hit a wall, and now all of a sudden it's like we're just sort of like we're treading water. We're walking in place. We're the hamster on the wheel. I mean, it's whatever. I don't. You can use any.
Any analogy
you want.
Well, and the problem is the way that our country is set up with each state getting to choose what it wants to do. You know, federally, if they would have put a mandate in federally that the entire country has to follow the same rules everywhere, it would have made a lot bigger difference. But every state was on a different timeline. Some states stopped and then immediately opened everything back up in the middle of...
Should we have done that, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's why every other country is doing better than us, because they're not set up structurally the way that our government is.
We're seeing a surge of cases in Hong Kong, Japan, and in Australia because they all brought it down to zero or near zero in terms of growth, and then they started untying all the restrictions... And then all of a sudden, and it's coming back up again. Florida, I think everybody's just pretty much given the finger to the government and to everything else. It's like, I don't care.
Oh, 100%.
I think that's the case there. I mean, I can't explain. Florida's a vacation place. Yes, there's beaches all over the place. They've got Disney World and Universal Studios and all of the other stuff. But, I think we're lucky that we're where we are, but it's also getting frustrating too, because we're sort of like we're not getting any place. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're not getting anywhere, and I don't see. I'm sitting there trying to figure out. Okay, what is the you know? I haven't found a fish. I went to the website, the Learfield website for the University of Iowa. The Learfield website for the for Iowa State University, just to check to see if they had the games, you know, in scheduled games for the football season or any of the other broadcasts. Well, Colin will tell you what was on the screen.
Nothing.
Absolutely empty calendars.
Absolutely, Jack. You know what?
it was weird, and I did get a thing saying, you know, please send back your contract for Friday Night Football scoreboard, but I don't know if there's, you know.
Is there a Friday Night Football?
They had it starting on the 17th of August. I said, yeah, you know, I think.
Oh.
I think,
yikes.
No, we're not. We're obviously, we're going to care. We'll carry it if they have it, but we're not going to. But it's the fact that we have so many uncertainties right now. That's the thing. There's so much more we don't know than what we do know. We don't know about school. We really don't. They've got these plans and all these things, But we really don't know how it's going to turn out, do we?
And these sports hinge on those school plans.
Don't they all? I tell you, we're going to take a break for news. We'll be back right after this.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The number of positive cases of coronavirus in Iowa saw another increase on Sunday. According to the latest data on the state's coronavirus tracking website, the number of positive cases in Iowa increased to 42,358. Of those positive cases, 29,728 individuals have recovered from the virus, and sadly, 829 have died from it. 454,803 coronavirus tests have been performed in Iowa so far, and out of those tests, 410,772 came back negative. U.S. Representative Dave Loebsack says he's, quote, deeply concerned about a report showing that the first known coronavirus outbreak in an Iowa meatpacking plant was far more severe than the state publicly acknowledged. Loebsack wrote a letter to Governor Reynolds requesting information about the state's response to the outbreak at the Tyson's Food Pork Processing Plant in Columbus Junction. The letter came 2 days after the Associated Press reported on documents showing Tyson officials told safety inspectors on April 30th that 522 employees were known to be infected. A dozen were hospitalized and two died. But at a May 5th news conference, the Iowa Department of Public Health said that only 221 workers at the plant had tested positive. Governor Reynolds' office has lifted the cap on a number of COVID-19 tests a Dubuque clinic will be able to perform. Earlier this week, the governor's office said Epic Health and Wellness could not conduct more than 100 tests per day. Officials said the clinic was not able to handle the volume of tests it was administering, leading to long lines and unusable samples. On Friday, the governor's office said the cap would be lifted, but testing would only be done by appointment starting Monday. Governor Reynolds signed a proclamation extending an order that bars and restaurants require patrons to remain at least 6 feet apart to limit the spread of the coronavirus. The proclamation, signed Friday, also extends other requirements, including that bars and restaurant patrons each have seats at a table or bar, and that operators maintain, quote, increased hygiene practices. In addition, the governor's order extends the existing rules for fitness centers, casinos, senior citizen centers, and other businesses. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Senate Republicans are expected to announce their new coronavirus financial relief plan today.
First of all, direct payments of $1,200 to many Americans. Of course, there are some income cutoffs there. Enhanced unemployment benefits with a goal of 70% wage replacement. There's more funding for schools as well, but this will not include something that the president really, really wanted, and that is a payroll tax cut.
Fox's Doug Luzader. House Democrats passed their plan 2 months ago, and differences would need to be worked out. With violence igniting during protests in Portland, Seattle, and some other cities, Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan says about President Trump sending federal officers into cities like Portland.
He's sending in additional resources to augment the federal folks that are already there, working with city, state, and local law enforcement every single day to try to address the increase in violence.
He was on Fox Business Network. America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful, and that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks, only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights, or use their carry-out and curbside pickup options, available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, to keep you warm and happy during the day's end. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
The weather today, we're looking at cloudy skies with occasional showers likely mainly before noon, then becoming mostly sunny. A high at 83. Mostly clear tonight, low down to 64. Showers Tuesday, high of 87. Mostly clear Tuesday night, down to 67. Wednesday should be mostly sunny, 88. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers, 82. And partly sunny Friday with a high of 82. Overcast skies, some rain in the area, still 74 degrees.
Big wheels are a-turning at Catfish Bend Casino's 250,000 cash big wheel promotion. Earn entries with every 50 points earned and 5 times entries on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. 5 lucky winners will be drawn each Saturday at 7 and 9 p.m. to spin the big wheel. Land on the Catfish Bend logo 3 times and win $250,000 cash. Or receive the value of all 3 spins in free play. See player services for full details. This month, receive a $10 Hy-Vee gas card each Monday by earning 250 points. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are in the green on Wall Street, modestly. Investors a little hopeful with news of a tick down in COVID-19 hospitalizations in Texas and Arizona over the weekend. And the world's biggest coronavirus vaccine study begins this morning with drug maker Moderna and 30,000 volunteers. Investors are watching as Texas is picking up the pieces from Hurricane Hanna over the weekend. Hawaii bracing for Hurricane Douglas, a possible direct hit on Oahu and Honolulu today. Senate Republicans set to unveil the details of their next COVID relief plan. It does not include an extension of the $600 a week unemployment benefit supplement, which ended for 30 million out-of-work Americans this week. The busiest week of earnings season is here. Critical for big tech names like Amazon and Apple, traders say they have to report big numbers to justify current high valuations on the NASDAQ. Jessica Ettinger, CNN.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
And there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain in effect.
On air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show today. Colin Letty, Michael J., Mikey J., Michael J. Anybody ever call you, they call you Michael? Anybody ever call you Michael?
Women.
Okay.
Yeah. Women.
Michael. Okay. Yeah. Not Mike.
My mom.
Your mom.
My fiance. You know, my grandma.
Oh, okay. They actually call you Michael as opposed to Mike. Is that right?
Well, the only people that call me Michael are women. I don't know if it's just a guy thing that we call each other, like, shortened version, but yeah, nobody calls me Michael except if I hear the term Michael directed towards me,
I think,
it is 100% times spoken by a woman.
I would seem to be a mother's thing.
Yeah, I think that's
Michael.
What it is.
It's what have you been up to, Michael?
Oh yeah, or you get middle named.
Yeah. Yes, when they when they say your whole name,
I get middle named.
You're in deep dude.
Oh yeah,
yeah. All right. Memories of that. But, I think what I was saying before is the more we know, it seems that the less we know. The more we think we know something, the more we know less than what we need to know. And it's like that's the case with this virus. It's the case with when things are going to change. It's the case for all of the events that we would,
it's the case for normality.
Yes, the case for when are we back to normal, and I don't know, and no one knows.
Well, I mean, if we got a vaccine and you know we've got all these drugs that they've been developing and stuff, pretty much. I mean,
I think we can get much
logically
closer.
by next year, by the time it's the 1 year mark, you would think that things would be fairly back to normal. The problem that we're going to have to deal with is somehow walking back this crazy rhetoric that the media has put out there that this virus is killing everyone, that you can't touch any of your loved ones. That is going to have lasting effects for years and
that
years.
That is
and
going
years.
To have. That
because
is.
They terrified. It was pretty much, I don't know, the terrorism. The entire country was so terrified of this virus, and it was just being thrown out there all willy-nilly, all this news about how terrible it was, how you and your whole family's going to get it, how say goodbye to grandma
now,
because you won't see her for 2 years.
It has been terrible for some people. It has.
Yes, it has. But the way of all the hospitals across the nation that were fearing being completely overrun, the only ones we've seen, New York. The only ones we've seen are places with millions upon millions of people, and that can only be expected. Okay,
because when you have people on top of each other,
yeah, when you have so many people crammed on top of each other and only a few hospitals, you know, what do you expect to happen? Yeah, that's going to happen, but. You know, they extended that fear not just to the people in those big cities. They pumped it directly out of the television into every single person's face, whether they were in a terrible place or not. So even people around here, you know, even though we've only had, was it two deaths?
Yes.
We've only had two coronavirus deaths.
And none since the first three weeks.
Yeah, none since the first 3 weeks. People are still terrified to go out in public here in a place where it's as low as it pretty much any place in the country that you could go. You know, this is probably one of the safest communities in the country.
Now we do have,
when it comes to numbers wise.
We've got restaurants. We've got restaurants that are open. We've got bars that are open, although we do not. Theaters are not open. The Players Workshop Theater, there's no live theater
Well, the normal movie theater, I can explain that why. It's because none of the big studios are releasing movies.
Who's going to release a film?
It's really sad. If you go past a movie theater, they have all the posters, all the cabinets that usually hold the movie posters. They're all empty.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's just grim. You know, it's like a scene from a movie.
You mean it's like I'm looking at my schedule for Iowa and Iowa State, and that's
I mean, some
empty.
I've seen some theaters get around it by holding screenings of classic movies, if they're allowed to open, that is. But
I think the problem is, and we had that when I had the
drive-in theaters are making a comeback.
Well, here's one. We had Mary Fox, and I had, Libba Flores joined me to talk about the Players Workshop. It was ostensibly to first talk about the garage sale going on, but also to talk about the complications that they would face to try to do any live theater. One, they would be restricted to having, for any performance, they would be restricted to having no more than 80 people in the audience. You'd obviously have some issues, depending upon the show you would do, for any play you'd be staging on the, you know, because you'd be working on that thing. But you had, and you'd have to literally fog and sterilize the entire theater, not only the auditorium, but the backstage area and the lobby and the bathrooms. All of that would have
it's
to be done.
It's just not worth it.
It was $2,800 a night to do that. All right, let's go to the talk show. Who do we have with us today?
This is Dean. I do agree that there's some over panic about this, about the coronavirus.
You mean the coronavirus?
He said the China virus.
I mean, that's what
teachers don't want to even go into school. Now this is where I say that we're not listening to common sense and a fast use of more emotion and being fear and scare. Those are the facts. Okay, you got Europe. I said this before. 22 countries had opened their doors to schools. Some don't have their kids don't wear masks. They have had no deaths of any kids of coronavirus. Maybe one in the United States. Yes, they had some kids got sick, but the kids recovered from the virus. There is nowhere where it's been proven where adults get the virus for kids and die from the virus. There's no proof that basically that older people get the virus from kids and die.
Are you trying to tell me that there's no proof that a child can give an adult the coronavirus? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Dean?
That's fact.
No. There's only one of us that doesn't believe in science right now, Dean, and it's not me.
Basically said this. Well-known pediatricians have said this.
Okay, so one well-known pediatrician said that. Do you know how many hundreds and thousands of doctors are out there telling information about this?
Anything else? Is it more depression and more depression, more other problems?
Okay, you're comparing.
Last year, we had almost 400 kids die of suicide. We did not close down the schools. You had more kids die of ammonia and the flu. We didn't close down schools.
The schools being closed down is not to keep the kids from dying, Dean. The schools doing all these things is not to keep the kids from dying. It's to keep the kids from infecting each other and sending them back home to infect their families. That is the reason they're putting all these restrictions in place. They're not worried about a bunch of kids dying. They're not worried about a bunch of kids dying.
What about the kids that don't have a computer, internet, Facebook, and Wi-Fi? You think all kids have that. Well, reality is a lot of parents can't afford it. And a lot of kids don't have it. But I guess we'll ignore that fact.
Well, what yeah. I mean, I don't know what you expect. What you expect me to say about that.
Before we had the polio.
I'm looking
polio
at the study
cure,
right now.
We had polio ravaged the world and the United States. And we didn't close anything down.
Yeah, and there were thousands of kids in wheelchairs, Dean.
And everything else. I mean, that's...
Polio decimated our country. If you're trying to say that polio didn't have that big of an effect...
Yes, it did. It did harm and did horrible things.
Yeah, it did.
Far worse than this virus did. You had people in tubes and a machine keep them alive.
Dean, we're not even a year into this. You don't know how bad this is. Over 200,000 people have died so far, and you're trying to say, I know polio affects a lot of people, but so far in less than a year, we have 200,000 people dead.
Listen to this. I'm looking at this study that he's talking about. He said that it is rare, but he's using a Chinese study that is a recent study in China, contact tracing. However,
22 countries, the most of them
Let me read this, Dean. Rising cases among adults and children in Texas child care facilities, which have seen 894 COVID-19 cases among staff members and 441 among children in 883 child care facilities across the state. Obviously not details, but it's the fact is that there's not a specific absolute about anything regarding how or who can. Young children are less likely to transmit it to adults. However, the one study about this is that if your children that are 10 or older are just as able to transmit this to an adult as anyone. Under 10, that's the drawing line. So you're kind of right, or you're close to right for the 10 and under. But what do you do for the 10 and over?
But that also doesn't say they can't transmit it. It says that they can't. It's just it's less likely than a normal person.
It's rare. Mm-hmm. It is rare. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. I like to somebody call up, have four children at different ages to see if they can do homeschooling. And they have two jobs or a single
Who's
parent.
Asking them to homeschool,
they
Dean?
To,
Who's asking them to homeschool?
They can't. They can't.
The
yeah.
Or teaching their kids.
Every single kid is going to be in the same boat, Dean, whether their family has a bunch of money or doesn't have a bunch of money. The school district's going to find a way to treat every kid exactly the same and find a way to get them the resources they need to complete this curriculum, whether they have to mail it to them at home, whether they email it to them, whether they provide all these kids a laptop. They're going to find a way to educate these kids. So this constant...
Had a polio epidemic, we never would have had schools open.
No, don't you put words in my mouth, Dean.
No, don't tell me
if I had it my way, I would make sure a bunch of people die, if that's what you're trying to get to right now.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, are you trying to characterize me that way? How Christian of you, Dean. How Christian of you.
I'm throwing the facts, but you want to ignore the facts, so... Anyway...
Okay.
Hey, Dean, the problem... Hey.
...brought federal government in to calm the troubles in Detroit, and now everybody's talking about Trump doing the same thing. These people are hypocrites.
The problem, hey, Dean,
they like their city destroyed and burned down the ground.
Hey, Dean, the problem is that we have some studies that do come out. We can look at the studies and the vaccines. We can look at the studies of the cases that they have. We can look at the experts, quote unquote, a pediatrician or whatever that says what he believes. But the reality is, we really don't know. And the other problem we have is that in some of these, and if these kids that are in poor schools, I don't care how, hey, their parents, they both have to work. And if those kids aren't in school, they're probably going to be home alone. That's the reality. The parents can't afford daycare. And the fact is, the kids will be home alone if they don't have school. They need to have, and if they are fairly affluent or affluent enough to be able to afford childcare, then you're going to have these kids, if they're not in school, they're going to be all together in childcare. And you tell me, what's the difference? The difference is liability. That's the difference. And that's one of the things you were talking about at the thing. It's the liability. The schools are afraid of being sued and having somebody sue them because their child got sick or was transmitted or whatever, or a parent or a teacher got sick because of a child contact. I mean, all of these things are all, that's all litigation. It's all liability. That's the thing that is the fear monger that is out there right now. But I think the kids should be in school if they can be. I think that we need to do the best we can. But the fact is, some kids are going to get sick and some adults are going to get sick. There's no way around that. It's just the fact of the way it is. And we have to move on. Dean, appreciate the call. Okay.
Bye bye.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's just. Am I right? It's just the.
You are absolutely right.
I think either way, no matter what they decide, kids are going to be congregating in groups, whether the school ends up being a big daycare or it ends up being, you know, little gatherings of at daycares all over town. It's going to happen.
Kids are going to get together either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I, and look, and you know that, and you've seen the fact is that they've got, the kids are going to play together. And the other thing is, you can say, okay, well, here's one thing. I disagreed with the Doug Steffen show. But the fact is, you could say we're only going to have so many kids on a school bus at a time. Well, okay, so where are you going to get all the buses that are going to transport the kids then? Okay, now the other thing is, okay, you can say to the kids, hey, okay, you're all going to be, you have to be separated out, and you'll have to be wearing your mask.
Are they going to listen?
And you know, as soon as they're on the bus, and as soon as the guy's driving,
all that goes out the window.
It's all going to go out.
Well,
the window.
I mean, I guess the problem is. In doing this whole thing is if they socially distance all these kids, there's not enough room for all of them, right?
Exactly.
So it seems to me that you should be able to offer the better students. If you had a 3.5 or higher last year, you now have the option of online schooling for the year. And if you have the resources at home to do the online schooling and whatnot, that's one less kid that, number one, you have to feed. Number two, is going to take up space and you have to worry about getting sick. You know, I feel like that's where it's going to end up going.
The problem you run into is that it's not so much it's middle school and high school. You can do a lot of things, but in the elementary grades, there's not a lot that elementary is a whole different world. And that's, as Colin, you've got family members that are teachers. I've got a wife that's a teacher. It's a very different world. And those kids trying to come up with things that are going to work for elementary school kids at home. And if parents can't, do I think there'll be some parents or whatever, or if those who can will be probably, there will be a growth in homeschooling. I'm pretty sure of that. And you'll have what we call, at least what Pat Cohen said, parallel programming. They're going to have in class, and they're also going to be run at the same time they're doing in class. They're also going to have, everything's also going to be online, so it can be done either way, whether you're in or out of the classroom.
But that's all just for high school, though, right?
It's for all students in all grades. That is a parallel program. Yeah, I know. So basically, everything's being duplicated. It's a, yeah, but
yep.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We're in the same. We've gone around the horn, and we come back, and we're back in the same place we were when we started the show.
And then the question as a taxpayer is, are we going to charge these parents the exact same amount of money that we normally do to educate them? You know, is
the taxes are taxes going to be any less? No. Yeah. Are our taxes going to... No.
They're getting a worse education for the same amount of money?
Actually, the question is, worse or whatever, they're going to get an education, but the fact is it's the taxes and the part that goes to schools is going to be... Actually, it's going to be more expensive for schools to do what they do than if they had them all in class.
What is the argument against just not having school for a year?
The argument against it is because of you've got... I'll tell you what the biggest argument... All of the contracts that all of the teachers have and all of the administrators have, and all have been honored, and you
because without you students in the classroom, they don't can't fulfill those contracts.
And trying to void those contracts, it goes right out the window.
More legal action.
Yeah, it will. You know what? The fact is, it comes back to it's another no-win situation. We just don't have the. We think we have ideas, but the thing is, we don't know. I don't know about football. I don't know about
about school.
Planning anything is almost impossible right now. Mm-hmm. All right, have a great day.
The News and Sports Authority for Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 K.